All right, we're back, and today's episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Spring has sprung, and our friends at Manscaped have the best tools for some spring cleaning. They've already helped you tighten up all of your body's basement, but this year, Manscaped can help you get the perfect presentation on that beautiful face with the new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Make sure you look your best this spring by using the code WISCG to get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code WITHCG, W-I-T-H-C-G at manscaped.com. Focus on the face and use the Beard Hedger Pro Kit for the cleanest look in the game. On to the episode, baby. Let's go. All right, we're back on the podcast, and I've been looking forward to having another Megna on the airways with me today. He's a current professional hockey player and now unrestricted free agent, former Anaheim Duck, Jason Megna. Megs, welcome onto the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
Pumped to have you on. How are we feeling? How's Colorado treating you right now?
Feeling great, man. No complaints. Body's feeling healthy, so that's always positive going into the off season. So, excited to take some time off and spend some time with family.
Yeah, family time is important, especially, you know, in the off season, right? To just kind of recharge and all that.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially I got a 2-year-old daughter, so yeah, I love spending time with her, and she changes so much. It feels like every day. So I hate missing time spent with her. So it'll be nice to kind of watch her develop and grow here as the summer goes on.
That's the best part about the off season, is just family time with her. So that's awesome. I want to get into the Megna family real quick. I had Jacob on early on in my journey with the podcast. So let's get right into it. Your whole family down the line, all athletes. I mean, you guys, your dad played in the NFL. You and Jacob play in the NHL. And I know your sister, I believe, was a figure skater too. And mom played a sport too, right?
Yeah. My sister, she was a figure skater. And then she actually played club softball at FSU. So mom was a water polo player, swimmer, so definitely got a lot of athlete in our bloodline there.
How was it in the household? Was it pretty competitive? Was everyone going at it?
Yeah, at times it was very competitive. Obviously it's just some sibling rivalries and stuff like that, but no, it was fun, and I think it was great that, you know, me and my brother were so close, and we were able to push each other and kind of help elevate it, both of our games. It was kind of a competition, and then obviously the support that we've had from our sister and our parents has been fantastic. So I think just, you know, having everybody play sports, they kind of recognize and understand that, you know, it's healthy competition, but nice to have a good support system too.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of families that would die to have your guys' genetics. Let's just put that out here. You know, you guys spent some time in Chicago. You know, what was it that got you into hockey? I know Jacob had pointed out, but I want to hear your point of view on that.
Yeah. So funny enough, it was just, I had never really known anything about hockey. We were born in Florida, moved to Chicago when I was, I think, 4 years old or 3 years old, one of the two. And I remember going to a birthday party at an ice hockey rink. It was just a public skate around that they had rented out for the birthday party. And I actually got around pretty good for my first time, and, you know, used the boards for the first little bit. And by the end of it, I was kind of on my own, and, you know, obviously took a couple spills, but I just had a blast, and I thought it was really fun. So I asked my parents about it, and they signed me up for a house league team when I was 7 years old. So I guess I kind of fell into it because my parents didn't really know anything about hockey. My dad played football, obviously, growing up. My mom was into swimming and water polo. So just kind of happened by accident, I suppose. And then obviously Jacob wanted to do what his older brother was doing. So then he followed and got into hockey too. But yeah, it all came about from a birthday party public skate, funny enough.
That's wild. And I know, like, dad probably helped that out, you know, just getting you guys into the rink, you, your brother, and your sister too. Were you all three skating at the same time?
We're all three skating at the same time. My poor parents didn't have a life, I don't think. About 15 years between, you know, them both working and then, you know, just driving us around all the time to our events. So obviously nothing happens without the support of our parents. And for my family in particular, definitely leaned upon heavily upon them getting us to to and from the rink. So shout out to them for sure. They put in a shift.
Big time. Yeah. Yeah. Without our parents, you know, we're not where we are today, obviously. Right. So big time. Hey, listen, I want to bring up a big highlight, a big moment in your career this season, and your parents flew out for it. Jacob was on San Jose. You got picked up by Anaheim halfway through, and you got to play against Jacob in the NHL. And what a moment, right? And especially for your family, your parents, how was that? What was the feeling like?
Yeah, it's hard to describe, man. It's one of those things, like, you always talk about it growing up, like, you know, we'd love to play in the NHL. And it's not something I think either of us really thought was ever going to happen, but it was fun to dream and work hard and something to chase after. So, you know, growing up with him, spending all those workouts with him, we went together to school at Omaha, played against each other one time in the USHL. And just one time in the American League, actually, as well, too. And then just being able to play against each other in the NHL, like, just a, you know, both of our kind of childhood dreams. Obviously, it'd be cool to play on the same team one day, but getting to play against him, having my parents there, honestly, just kind of like a full circle moment, like, tough to describe. Seeing him work so hard throughout his career, and I'm sure he'd probably say the same about me, and to just kind of fall into that situation was pretty special.
No doubt. I'm sure it was an emotional time for your parents, but I know Jacob, it meant a lot to him for sure. Yeah. That photo, the photo before in the warmups. I love that photo.
Yeah. Yeah. Right at the red line there. That was, you know, something that we'll frame down the road and have in our man cave somewhere in the basement. So that was a really special moment and something that I'll obviously never forget.
You know? Yeah. I'd say what, top two, you won the cup with Colorado. Then you had that time with Jacob, that game. Is that top two for you?
Yeah, I think it's gotta be, you know, first NHL game is always memorable. And then obviously being part of the cup team was incredibly special, and doing that whole parade, that whole dance was pretty amazing. And, then getting to play him, I'd say it's definitely in the top three for sure.
Love that. I want to bring up something too. Jacob, this is good. I'm going to spice it up right now. Jacob and I have been texting this past week, and I told him I was going to have you on.
Yep.
So I said, Jacob, I need a few things. What can I talk about on the podcast for your brother? So he wanted to chime in real quick. He wanted me to bring up your golf game.
Okay. Well,
how's the golf game working out for you? Are you swinging clubs into windows, Megs? What's going on?
No, the golf game's pretty crispy right now, actually.
Is it?
Yeah. No, So we both played golf growing up, but we didn't really start getting into it until we both turned pro, because I played baseball all the way up until senior year of high school. So I was always like, had summer tournaments, whatnot. I never really had an off season. So when I turned pro, I finally had my first summer where I was off, and I started getting into golf. And my wife will tell you this, I'm probably a little bit over obsessed with golf. Like, I love it.
I'm
trying to play as much as I can. I think it's such a great game. We play a team aspect all the time in hockey, and sometimes things are out of your control, and I find golf is just such a great individual game. You know, you have no one else to blame, and it's all down to you. And I think it's just a great mental game. You can build some mental toughness, and, you know, it's, I don't know. It's just a beautiful sport. I love it. I would play it every day if I could. And, the game is pretty good right now. I'm looking forward to having some matches with my brother, but he doesn't get out as often as he used to.
How is it between you two when you guys play each other in golf?
You know, like I said, he doesn't get to play that much.
He doesn't play?
Okay. I think, no, he does. He plays, but he's got two little girls at home. So for him, it's really tough. So he actually has potential. He's got a lot of, you met him, he's 6'6". He can hit the ball a mile.
Right.
He's got potential. He lacks the consistency right now. I'll just say that.
No doubt. It's very therapeutic to get on the green, you know, to golf and stuff. Great. I want to point something out real quick. I want to go back about the journey of being a hockey player. Like, there's so many highs and lows. I mean, you and Jacob would know, right? You know, up and down, up and down. And it's like, a lot of people give up and they doubt themselves, right? They just give up if they have an L for a day. But it's like, you guys stuck through it, and you're playing in the NHL now. And I want to point that out, because in the beginning of my journey with the podcast, I wanted to bring on people with inspiring stories that are going after what they want and not giving up. And you guys are prime examples of that.
Sure. Well, yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate it. I mean, it's been a journey for sure for the both of us. And I was undrafted. Jacob was drafted close to, you know, right at the end in the seventh round, or maybe it was the eighth round. And it's there's a lot of, like you said, up and down, peaks and valleys, and it's something you got to just trust in and believe, and just know that if you work hard at the end of the day, that's all that counts, and can control what you can control is what I like to say. And I know that I can control my attitude and my work ethic every day. So that's kind of what kept me on course.
It's in the bloodline, man. You guys, you know, you're born to win. There's one more thing he wanted me to bring up. I was a little iffy about it, but I'm still going to do it because I trust Jacob.
Yep.
He said, bring up his body fat in college. What's this all about?
It is pretty awesome. So we had, I think I know exactly what he's talking about. Okay. So, obviously like at the beginning of every year, we have, you know, strength evaluation, body fat, weigh in. They want to see like what you've been doing in the summer, how your body's training. It's a good tool for them to kind of see like what you've been doing, but also what's a weakness and what would be good to work on. So if you need to change something in your diet, or you need to, you know, work on more upper body or lower body core, various things, right? So maybe it's mobility for the goalies, you never know. So I go in and I'm one of the, you know, first guys to go for body fat. So everybody's kind of standing around, like listening. They do with the caliper and they have someone typing in the numbers.
Right.
So it's going through, everything's fine. And then the strength coach pinches my stomach and I see the little wheel thing. It turns a couple times and it lands on four.
Yeah.
And you know, that would be an unbelievable score for me and pretty much for anybody. I think if you're in between like the 4 and 10, you're like shredded. Right.
Right.
So I see it go 4 and I was like, oh, 4, no way. And our strength coach yells out 24. It spun around a couple of times before it landed back on 4. I read it on the thing. It's too funny. Yeah. To say I had to do my diet a little bit better after I found out that score.
That's funny. Well, it's all worked out. I want to bring up another subject, and that's the NHL playoffs. Have you been keeping an eye on it? Anybody's playing? I've been watching, so I want to dive into this.
Yeah, I have. I've been following it pretty close. I love when it's on every day. I think it's great. And then when you got a couple games on, I think it's the best time of the year, especially in that first and second round. Been some great hockey, and I obviously followed it because my brother's team, the Kraken, was in it. So, you know, sadly they bowed out last night, but I've been following it, man. What do you think so far?
I mean, it's been great. I mean, there's a lot of surprises. Florida beating Boston was, I think, a shocker for a lot of people.
Yeah, huge.
But I called it when I said Brandon Montour, Monty, a good buddy of your brother's. Yep. He stepped up, man. He's been great in the postseason, huh?
He looks incredible, doesn't he?
Amazing. And Matty Tkachuk, too. I really, out of the East, I like Florida. I think they've been playing great.
I mean, it's tough to argue that, especially knocking off arguably the greatest team in NHL history, right? Like the most points in the regular season, and
for
them to kind of sneak in even last minute, right? Like they snuck in with a couple games left, and then they took down Boston. They're like, well, these guys are for real. So I think it's really exciting. It's been really surprising because I think if you look at it from an outside perspective, and you go like filling out your brackets or whatever, it's like I don't think anybody probably had Boston or Colorado not making it to the second round. So it's just been, it's been really cool to see how the league has such good parity. I think that's, you know, primarily what it shows is that, you know, these teams are closer than you might think. And obviously getting some hot goaltending in Florida's case with Bobrovsky has been super helpful. So I think it's going to come down to goaltending the rest of the way, like it usually does in the playoffs.
Totally agree with you. It's build off momentum. You know, just don't know. Anyone can win, right? And that's a great point. Out of the West, though, I did say Vegas would be the team to go all the way and actually win the Stanley Cup.
Okay.
And I can say that now that a couple of buddies of mine are out of the playoffs. So.
No, I mean, I think that's a great pick. I mean, again, they got the firepower and it's going to all come down to goaltending. I mean, if they get hot goaltending, that team can score 5 or 6 goals every night with the guys on their team. So. Even the guys in the back end, you know, you got Theodore and Petrangelo, and those guys put the puck in the back of the net just as much as other guys. So I like that pick. It's a good pick. I think it's going to be a great matchup between them and Dallas.
No doubt. It's going to be a great, of course. And Dallas too, it's like kind of out of nowhere. They stepped up. I like the addition of Max Domi. You know, you got Sagan, Ben, and Ottinger is a great goalie too. He's a stud.
He's a guy that flies under the radar, I think, throughout the hockey world, and he's been so solid for them the past couple of years. And you know, obviously now they're in the playoffs, and you're getting to see a little bit. I think, like we just said, it comes down to goaltending. So whoever's hot and has the momentum and can ride it, you know, they're going to win. But I like that matchup a lot in the West.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch. Who's your team? I mean, which team do you think is going to win the cup? I want to know. if you had to guess, who would you?
If I had to guess, I'm gonna say it's Florida, just because I feel like the stars of the line, they've beaten Boston, and I just feel like it would line up great. And if Bobrovsky's the Bobrovsky that we've seen, I think that they're just such a scrappy team. They're built the right way for the playoffs. They got guys that can skate, guys that are heavy, they're physical, and you know, Kachuk's playing great. So I think Florida, but again, I've been wrong before, so that's my pick right now.
They've had the toughest road, I think. I mean, to have Boston, Toronto, it's not easy. Those are not easy opponents.
The way that they handled Toronto, especially in that environment, I think most people had Toronto winning that series as well. So I think they've proven everybody wrong. So they're a hard team to bet against now. But I do love I love the way that Carolina plays. They're so in your face all the time. It's so high-paced. When they're building, like, that place gets rocking, it is so difficult to play in. So I think that's going to be a real good test.
Yeah, their home ice definitely gives them the advantage. With Florida, though, I really believe that they have the skill. They have the goaltending, like you said, but they're mean. They're mean. Yeah, I mean,
they got an edge to them, which you need in the playoffs especially. So that's my pick. I don't know. Do you think you're sticking with Vegas?
I mean, I am. I will say, though, Vegas and Florida Cup final – and if Florida wins, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked either. But I think Vegas has everything from top to bottom. So we'll see.
I think either way, whoever wins that series, Vegas and Florida is going to be one heck of a party at the end of it.
Definitely would be happy with that. I want to transition to another subject, and that is mental health. I've been focusing more on mental health, Jason. And, you know, I want to talk about, as a professional athlete and NHL player, what do you do for yourself to take care of you day to day, you know, on the ice, off the ice, you know, what do you do?
I mean, I think that's such a good question. I think everybody's been taking a little bit more inventory of their mental health lately, just with everything going on in the world. Been through a lot, you know, everybody the past couple of years with the whole global pandemic and COVID. And I think for myself, I think the biggest thing, which was difficult younger in my career because hockey was my identity, where it was like, I'm a hockey player and I want to play well. And if things aren't going well, then I don't feel great about myself. And I think just having a good support system, my parents and my brother, just my sister, being able to jump on the phone with them. I think using the people that really care about you and kind of expressing your feelings and maybe not holding it in all the time.
Right.
I found that was super helpful. And then when I got married and had a kid, now it's, you know, what happens at the rink stays at the rink. I'm not bringing that home with me, because my daughter doesn't care at all if I scored a goal or was dash five. Like, she's just happy to see her dad. And that to me has been probably now the easiest way for me to just disconnect from everything and just be like, listen, that happened 2 hours ago and now I'm home and I got to be the best dad that I can be for my daughter and the best husband I can be for my wife.
Good for you. That was a great answer, man. I mean, and that's good that you're aware of that. I mean, self-awareness is a huge thing, right? And, you know, one bad shift doesn't define you, you know, and even if you're sat for a game, it doesn't mean that you're less than what you are really capable of, man. So I think it's huge to be aware of.
Yeah, no, and listen, I can sympathize with the guys that, you know, are coming up and, you know, maybe they're first rounders and, or undrafted, but they've, you know, developed so fast in a certain way and they have all these pressures on them and the people that are counting on them. And I think it can get pretty heavy, man, especially in the day and age of social media, where it seems like everybody's, you know, a critic behind doors and, you know, but you see it and you read it and it can be really difficult. I think, you know, finding people that you can talk to and just kind of get away from, or even if it's golf or it's something that you go see a movie and just kind of disconnect from everything. I think it's important to kind of take time away and reach out to people that, you know, truly care about you for you and not for you as the hockey player.
Yeah, that's huge, man. A good support system. You got your family, your wife and your child, but the balance is huge. Being off that phone, because it's like, I think a lot of people online want to live their perfect lives and show that, when it's not really like that, you know. And there are a lot of critics, bro. And like, it's all a reflection of how people feel about themselves. I always say that, but I think it's like taking that time away and being present is the most important thing.
Totally. I think you put away your phone, it's the healthiest thing for you, especially these days.
No doubt, man. Hey, I want to talk about dogs today. We got a lot of dog lovers, I think, on my podcast that listen to my episodes. I want to talk about Enzo. I mean, that's my guy, dude. Your dog. I want you to pronounce. I had so much fun with Enzo, with Wyatt. How do you pronounce the breed?
Weimaraner.
Thank you. It's a little tough one for me.
German short-haired pointer family. German bird hunting dogs. They're similar to the Vizsla and the German short-haired pointer.
Yeah.
My wife, funny enough, so this is kind of a cool story why we have Enzo. I had a lab growing up, a black lab, and then a Shiba Inu. And my wife had a Weimaraner growing up, their family dog. And oddly enough, the dog they bought from this breeder, they co-signed just in case like the dog ever became a show dog, they would be able to use it to show and breed or whatever. And it was out of a litter of, you know, 8 to 12. I can't remember the exact number, but sure enough, their family dog ended up being like the stud out of the group. So they would lose their family dog on the weekends because it would go show in like Westminster, or it would go to this dog show and it would be bred with this other breeder. Right. So it was kind of crazy. So I'm playing in Vancouver, and my wife, who's my girlfriend at the time.
Yeah.
We started living together that first year, and sure enough, one of her childhood dog, his name was Hudson. He passed away a number of years before, but he was having, his son was having a litter in next to Vancouver. So Enzo is her childhood dog's great grandson, which is kind of cool. So,
wow.
Direct bloodline from her childhood dog growing up. So that's the story of Enzo, how we got him.
He's an amazing dog. I really connected with him. It's funny because when you went to Santa Barbara with your wife and your child, Wyatt had invited me over when he was house sitting the dog. And he's funny. He tells me, he's like, when I was trying to sleep at Jason's place, he just wanted to sleep with me. And I kept telling him to stay on the ground and just relax. But Enzo's like, I ain't having it, dude. I want to be right next to you. And what he did, he put his back against Wyatt's back. It's that unconditional love. You know, that connection, man. Enzo's he's the goat, man. I tell you. And he was very affectionate with me. And as a hunting dogs are known to be very loyal to their owners, with you, I'm sure. And they're affectionate to their owners. But I mean, they're a one of a kind, man. And the breed is.
He was a handful when we first got him. Okay. So like he's got all that energy, and like, he's a hunting dog. So he needs to be put to work, and he needs his runs and all that stuff. But when you give him his exercise, man, he is, like you said, like so much affection. He's so smart and,
smart.
He just wants to be around you. Like, I'll sit on the couch and he's 75 pounds. Like, he'll try to sit right on top of me. Like, he just wants to be feeling his owner and being right there with you. So, I can see that with Wyatt. Like, he's probably like, dude, just sleep on the floor. And Enzo's like, no, man, like, I want some body heat. Like, I'm coming on the bed.
Wyatt's like, all right, man, we'll cuddle. I want to tell you a story about, a dog story, for me. And this is kind of in regards to mental health. So I came out of my place, and, there was a little Jack Russell Terrier, a 6-year-old, with its owner walking by, and it just came and it gravitated towards me and gave me so much love. And that's another hunting dog. Right.
Yep.
And you know, the guy was really sweet. And then I think a week later, the wife was walking the same dog, came right up to me, and she goes, you know what? I've been dealing with, she opened up to me because I've been talking about mental health. I told her about the podcast. Yeah. She's like, hey, listen, like, I've been having a lot of anxiety and depression, and my therapist had told me to just get a dog and see how it works. And it's totally just helped her feel better. And that unconditional love, that companionship, that connection with the dog is huge, man. And it impacted me to hear that. Dogs really do. They're loyal, man. Like, there's something about dogs that it's really healing, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think it's, they give you unconditional love. It's the same thing kind of as a child, funny enough, where it's like, they don't care what you've done today. They don't care like how you did at your job or whatever. Like, when you get home, they love you no matter what. and they just want your love and attention. And so I think it makes you kind of forget about what happened the rest of your life and what happened the rest of the day. And you can kind of just be present with them. I think it kind of just minimalizes everything else that's going outside, and you got to focus on them and just compartmentalize, which I think is just a beautiful thing.
It's huge. And dogs can get people through the toughest times of their lives. It keeps people going, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's fascinating what they can do, isn't it? Nowadays, like I saw, a service dog the other day was just leading this old lady down a street and just, stopping at the crosswalk. And, the way that they can train these dogs now and the things that they can do, it's truly incredible. We don't deserve them oftentimes. I'll say that.
Amen to that, man. I totally agree with you. Great point. So coming down to this episode, the end of this episode, what's next for you, man? I know you're a UFA. Definitely going to spend more time with the family, I'm sure, and recharge, enjoy Colorado. And I know there's going to be a certain time when you start working out again, and then you kind of line up with your agent and figure out what you want to do. What's next for you?
That's a great question. So I actually just started working out again. I can't take too much time off. I'm just one of those guys that has to be doing something, staying busy, even if it's just like a body weight thing where I'm not, lifting super heavy weights, just something to stay active. I got to have some discussions with Anaheim before the July 1st, free agency day opens. So I have until then to kind of figure out, what the situation is there, kind of what they're looking for. We can go through contract talks, and that's on them right now to figure out if they want me back or not. And so that's basically the next, month or so is just figuring out kind of where I sit with them and, figure out the draft and all that stuff. And, they're going through a coaching change right now. So they got that and, a couple contracts to sort out before they get down to what they want to do with me. So I'm just sitting tight, like I said, enjoying, spending some time at home with the family and trying to play some golf and, getting some workouts in and getting ready for next year. I feel like I don't take too much time off, but, it's definitely nice to just not have a routine or have to go into the rink every day. I can kind of wake up my daughter and put her to bed. So, that's been great. I'm just going to enjoy that and try to soak up some nice weather here.
Love it, man. And if they're smart, they'll keep you. I'll say that. I think you fit nicely into that lineup, man. I watched you play and you did great, down the stretch. You're kind of thrown into the fire, man. Tough season for Anaheim.
You know what? It's such a great group of guys.
A great group of guys, though. Right.
Young team, really exciting guys. They got Troy Terry, Trevor Zegras, and Mason McTavish, a bunch of just great players. Jamie Drysdale was injured all year, but seeing what he can do on the ice, and he's super impressive. So I think the future is extremely bright in Anaheim. It was a great group to be a part of, and hope everything works out for the best, and that I can go back there if that's what they want, and I'd love to be a part of it.
Absolutely, man, and I hope it works out for you. Okay. In conclusion, I want to say this: it's so inspiring to see two brothers play in the NHL. And I'm hoping that one day you guys will be able to play together on the same team. Crossing my fingers for that. But it's inspiring, man. You don't see it that often. And I just love that you guys are living out your dream. You got a great family. And I'm glad we can connect today. And just keep going, brother. You're doing a great job, okay?
Yeah, man. I really appreciate it. And thanks for having me on. And best of luck to you and your endeavors in this podcast industry. And it was a pleasure talking with you. All the best. If I can ever do anything for you, let me know.
Absolutely, brother. Thank you. And if you're around, we'll grab dinner. So we'll have to see.
Would love to.
All right, brother. All right. Thank you. Have a good one. Enjoy the family time.
Take care. Thanks so much.
Thank you for tuning into this episode. Stay connected with me and make sure to follow and subscribe to One-on-One with CG on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, Instagram, anywhere you can find podcasts. Have a beautiful week, and I'll talk to you soon. It's fucked up.